The elections, wow, it's just everything. It's just going, it shouldn't be called, it should be called, thank you. I thought I had messed up. I thought I had hit that thing wrong. There we go. We're going to play with me now. Okay, play with Dad. There you go. I promise you I'll do it to him. I know I would do it to him, so it's all right if he does it to me. Let's see here. All right. Has he left it alone? Or did he carry it to a seat with him? Got to watch him. That got that Linton blood in him. I don't see it. I think he's got, y'all got to be careful. I think, oh, there it is. Got to keep my eye on him all the time. I know where he came from. Yeah. This week, all the stuff that's been going on, the election, and good Lord, if you hear every one of them talk, they're the best thing that's ever happened. They give you the same. They got a can. Every one of them, they got a can. And in this can, they've got a jar, and they've got their promises. And they take them all out and spread them out. And then when it's over, they take them, put them back in the jar, and hold them for next time. And they'll say, the last administration didn't do what I'm going to do. And I'm thinking, well, you were the last administration. they play with our minds because they know people don't keep up with what's going on. They don't pay attention to what's going on. You know, I was watching Waters World last night, and he was really raking them over the coals, asking them about what people think about certain views. And he'd mix things up, and people would go, that's right, I think he's right about this, blah, 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 blah. The more I heard about all of them, the crazier it got. And I just said, wow, it's just crazy. So let God lead you. Okay? When it comes to the election, when it comes to things, let God lead you. It's important. Don't look at... Just because somebody's Republican or just somebody's Democrat, they're the one to vote for. Not necessarily. You vote your conscience. You vote let the Holy Spirit lead you. And you ask God to show you which one to vote for. Because I'm telling you, look, I'm telling you, it's what's inside of their heart that's going to make the big difference. Okay? So you got to watch them. Pay attention. Get I'm trying to think what it's called right now, but it tells you where people stand, what they've done, not hearing what they said they've done, what they've done. Okay? They're the ones you want to talk to. That's the ones you want, the guys that actually have been trying to get it done. They're the guys you want. Amen? So be careful. Watch what's going on around us. It does get crazy, and it's going to get crazier. Between now and November, it's going to be absolutely crazy. Don't look at the party, look at the person. Okay? Somebody say that. Don't look at the party, look at the person. That's right. You know, anybody got any crazy neighbors? I can say that. Oh, yeah. I can say that now because I'm not living next to DC or Daniel. Yeah, I got crazy neighbors. I heard about my neighbor. He hated his wife's cat. He wanted to get rid of it, but she wouldn't let him. So finally, he decided he had enough. So he put the cat in his car and drove to the other side of town, let the cat out, and drove home. When he pulled in his driveway, there was the cat walking up the driveway. He said, I cannot believe this. So the next day, he put the cat back in the car, drove 10 miles away. He let the cat out, then sped back as fast as he could. He pulled in the driveway, and there was the cat yawning, walking in the house. So the third day, he's furious. He gets in his car, puts the cat in, he drives way out in the country, drove 20 miles, took a left at a bridge, drove down some dirt roads with no street signs, and found the deepest part of the woods, and he dropped that stupid cat off. A few hours later, the man called his wife at home and said, honey, is the cat there? The wife answered, yes. Why do you ask? He's furious and frustrated. He said, well, put the cat on. I'm lost. I need directions. Okay. That's from the new book. All right. Okay, how about this one then? A group of congressmen were playing a trivia board game one night. A group of congressmen, politicians, playing a trivia board game one night. When one representative turned, it was his turn, he rolled the dice and landed on science and nature. The question was, if you're in a vacuum and someone calls your name, can you hear it? He thought for a moment, then he asked, was it on or off? Okay, you guys say that was better. Or worse. All right. This whole week's been very hard because I actually had been working on a sermon the week before, and really thought that it was had it together, ready to go, and then a couple of nights ago, the Lord started dealing with my heart, and I started working on another sermon, and I said, okay, this is the one. And as I'm working on that one, the Lord opens me up again on Friday night. Now, I had to go to the last Emmaus teaming yesterday. So I was trying to get everything done, but on Friday night, the Lord again just poured it on. And so I realized that I need to listen to him. So this is the third sermon for this week. I'm not preaching all three of them today. Okay, so feel good about that. Let's find and go. Okay, so let's see, get this thing working here. There we go. So we're going to talk about Psalm 23 and grace. Now, again, I'm at Emmaus, and Emmaus is all about grace. You're not going to hear about a religion. You're not going to hear about a denomination. What you're going to hear about is the cross and grace. And so I know that's where this was coming, the direction it came from. Again, we've got people in Emmaus and in church every Sunday. Some of you, listen carefully, some of you need the revolving door shut. Some of you need a door open. Some of you need a door shut. Think about it. The revolving door, you keep saying, God, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. You keep doing it, doing it, doing it. God, shut that revolving door. There's doors open that you don't know which way to go. And so, God, open the door that needs to be open. Shut the door that needs to be shut. You know, whatever it is, we sang about the old rugged cross. Let me tell you something about the old rugged cross. When Jesus was on that cross, he did not tap out. How many know what tap out means? He took the whole thing. He took it all. He didn't tap out and say, enough's enough. Matter of fact, he didn't even tithe his blood on that cross. He gave it all. Wow. That's a powerful thought. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're having going on in your life, we're going to try to go through all this today. If we can't, that'll be fine because we don't want to hurry God. Amen. Psalm 23. Get out your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. Stand for the reading of the word. Psalm 23. What I believe, and of course this is me, but I believe in any situation where politics are involved. Of course, you know what politics means. If you break down the word for politics, poly meaning many and tics meaning blood-sucking creatures. Okay, politics. Here's what the prayer should be. God, we need people, number one, that's willing to work together. That's it. Work together. Don't forget the party. They need to work together. When I remember when Ronald Reagan was in office, both sides pulled together. Amazing things got done. Both sides pulled together. Look what happened. Ronald Reagan stood up and said, let me ask you one question. Here was his running speech. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Were we? Good God, yes, we were. Yeah. So again, both sides work together. We need people in there that's willing to work together. And number two, willing to listen to God. That's it. Working together and listening to God, things will get done. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter their background, if they'll work together and listen to God, amazing things will happen. So here we go. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, oh man, I can remember so many times coming up, and I remember as a young father, and I was trying to make sure my family was taken care of and things were going good. And there was times where things weren't going so good. And Daniel or DC, neither one were supposed to be born. Beverly was not supposed to have kids. And when they were getting ready to do that final operation, I said, no, we're going to make sure. And wound up having DC and Daniel. And I just remember the struggles because of the health problems, Beverly, and the health problems with Daniel. It just, I just remember all this, and I remember this psalm, and it used to bring so much comfort. The Lord, y'all do this. The Lord, say your name. The Lord is David's shepherd. Say your name. Try it again. The Lord is David's shepherd. He shall not want. Ready? He maketh. Well, look, and now whenever we get to the part where it's me or you or whatever, you put your name there. He makes David to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth David beside the still waters. He restores David's soul. He leadeth David in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, David walks through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort David. Thou preparest a table for David before his enemies, in the presence of his enemies. Thou anointest David's head with oil. David's cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow David all the days of his life, and David will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for that old rugged cross, because that is the proof in the pudding of what you're doing for us. That is the proof of what's happening. No matter what happens in this world, you are happening, God, and you will take care of it. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. Let your name be glorified today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad that they're in the house of God with you. Amen. The word I put that controller there. Isn't God? So God's good and technology is good. DC, and you ain't got that thing, so I know you're not going to hit the button. All right. Here we go. I want y'all to think about this. This is so important. Matter of fact, if you know somebody that's struggling with their identity, they're struggling with, are they saved or are they not saved? They're struggling with, will God forgive me? Will God not forgive me? Please see me and start a little paper and put your name on it, and I will give you all these slides. On a piece of paper, two or three or four at a time, there'll be the slides that you see today, and maybe next week they'll be up there so you can have some ammunition to help somebody you see struggling with their own personal spiritual identity. Because I know there's a bunch of people that wonder all the time, are they going to make it to heaven? Are they going to make it through what they're going through? Is God really enough? I shall not what means God is enough. Amen? So here we go. What is grace? Grace is God's gift of love to each of us. It's God's gift of love to each of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Whether we deserve it or not. Wow. Let me say that again. Matter of fact, y'all say that with me, okay? God's grace is God's gift of love to each of us through Jesus Christ, whether we deserve it or not. Wow. It is a gift. It is a free gift. No strings attached. Isn't it cool when somebody tells you something, you go, really? 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 Now, I remember how many like Harbor Freight? They got a Harbor Freight in Washington now, so you don't have to go away to Greenville. And I was needing a ladder to get up on my house, but I also needed a ladder to get around in the garage, and I found this folding ladder that is expandable. It goes 17 foot, or you can make it 4 foot high. You can make it this way. You can make it all kinds of ways. Turn it all around. It was so awesome. If you buy this through some places, it's a $400 ladder. They had them there for $139. I got this little coupon that said 20% off. And I got another coupon saying it's $109. I said, well, I'm going to get a $300, $400 ladder. And then I even looked it up online, people compare some, and this was a better ladder. And so I was getting this ladder. And it was down to $109 plus 20% off, so I thought it was going to get me a ladder for $90. I get up there and I show them one coupon and said, yep, you get it for $109. I said, it's 20% off. And they said, nope. I said, it says 20% off any item. They said, any item but that one. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I got an engineering background. And I've taken college algebra 1 and 2, and I've taken all kinds of, you know, math and geometry and all that. And I just had it figured out that she didn't hear me or didn't see my coupon. And so I said, it said 20% off one item. And she said, not this item. And I said, why not this item? She said, read the fine print. She said it gets 20% off any item as long as it's not already on special and you've already got 20% knocked off of it. So I took my 20% off and put it back in my pocket, paid $109 for the lighter. I said, well, she got me there. The fine print. Every time you turn around, the fine print. Great big letters, 20% off anything in the store. Fine print except that lighter. They all do it. It's called marketing. Amen. I'm so glad that God doesn't do marketing. I'm so glad he doesn't do that. He doesn't say, well, God's blood will save you. I hate to get to heaven. God says, well, the blood saves everything but that thing. The blood will cleanse everything you've ever done except that thing. Except this. I'm so glad that his blood covered it all. Amen. So y'all say amen. Come on. And that's right, it covered it all. So watch this. And at the end, I can't forget to tell you the story about the young man that died. Somebody help me remember, because I'm not writing it down. I got to remember this. I don't know how far I'm getting this today anyway. So look, Grayson, Psalm 23. Faith, very first thing, faith. The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all say the Lord is my shepherd. That word, Lord, is Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd is Jehovah Raha. Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one. Matter of fact, when Moses saw the burning bush and Moses says, who are you, Lord? He said, who am I telling them sent me? He said, tell them I am that I am sent you. In other words, I am whatever you need, Moses. I am whatever they need. I am that I am. That word, I am that I am, the self-existent one, is tied into Jehovah. Raha, or Rahi, means companion, to keep company with, a friend, a herdsman, a pastor. Wow. That's some awesome stuff. Now think about, my God is my companion. My God takes care of me. My God's riding with me. You know, everybody rides with me, doesn't like to ride with me much longer. I mean, so I don't know why people... They've got a problem. I have discovered everybody that rides with me gets a problem. Look, DC. DC and I had gone somewhere. Either we'd gone to a church for a revival or we'd gone down to Camp Caroline for something. I'm driving back. And... I'm taking this curve, and he's saying, see those deer? And then he stops about there and says, see that curve? Remember that, DC? DC said, Daddy, get me out of the car, please. I said, it'll be okay, son. Calm down. Go to sleep. Amen. I'm so glad that God rides in the car with me, not complain. He don't shut his eyes. He's not afraid. He just says, get it, son, get it. Well, I don't know if he says that, but I do know he's going. Okay. All right. Jehovah Ra. All right. Jehovah, the self-existent one. I'm about to mess up the slides here. I'm getting all caught up in that in my driving. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, you've heard me, some of y'all have heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it now. You think that, you know, that the Lord's trying to talk about us being his sheep as something special. We're nice and cute and cuddly. nice and cute, me run through the fields, people count us when they're trying to go to sleep, blah, blah, blah. Nice and furry and woolly and just gorgeous and just the touch of perfect of innocence. And so that's why God decided to call us sheep. Can I tell you why he decided to call us sheep? I didn't write it down, I should have. Because sheep are the dumbest animal on the earth. They're dumb. I'm not saying y'all are dumb. Please, I'm not calling y'all dummies. Well, some of y'all look at each other going, oh, okay, now I can say it to you now. He just said it. You're a dummy. All right. No, he calls us sheep because watch this. Look. Have you ever noticed at the circus, they train all kinds of animals. They got all kinds of animals doing all kinds of things. If you look at America's Got Talent, they train all kinds of animals, do all kinds of things. Have you ever seen a man on America Got Talent said, and there's Roscoe and his trained sheep? You can't train a sheep. Have you ever been to a circus? And there's a three-ring circus. Over here are the elephants. Over here are the bobcats and the tigers and the bears. And over here in the third circle is a bunch of sheep. I guarantee everybody else is going to be doing their little trick and the sheep's going to be going, meh, 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 meh. Because sheep, I hate to say it, but they're dumb. Okay, so watch this. Here's the sheep. First off, they're short-sighted. They can't see very far. Sheep can only see a few foot in front of their head. So they cannot, and they cannot sense danger. They can't sense it by sight because they have such short fields of vision. They can be walking right into a pack of wolves and not see them until they get right up on top of them. And when they get on top of them, they're taken and they're killed. Sheep have no idea. They're short-sighted. Not only are they short-sighted, also they have a tendency to stray because they have no sense of direction. They're always going one way or the other, and without the shepherd, the sheep just keep going all kinds of ways. They just stray. So here they are. They're short-sighted. They can't see what's coming. They have a tendency to stray off without somebody leading them, and because they have a tendency to stray and because they cannot see, they are senseless to danger. And so again, they can walk right into a trap. The wolves or the lions can come and get them, and it doesn't matter. Look, once they get attacked, watch this, they're defenseless. They don't have claws. They ain't got these great old big teeth. Even a skunk's got a smell. Nothing. They are totally defenseless. And because of this, they are subject more than anything. They are so subject to attack. That's why when the sheep are out in the field, they have to have the shepherd. Because without the shepherd, they're scattered everywhere. Not only are they scattered everywhere, that's why they have these fancy sheep dogs that keep them herded. Because the sheep just will wander off. They'll wander into danger. They have no idea what's going on. They'll step right into it. And because of this, the enemy always knows they can take a sheep very easily if they don't see a shepherd. So now, think about this now. Because of all that, they desperately need a shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's what he's talking about. We stray. We do our own thing. We have no idea the problems that are coming. We just keep on moving forward until we are totally taken out of the game and don't realize how in the world I get taken out of the game. I thought everything was going good. I thought everything was fine. Had everything moved in the right direction. And here it is. Now we're down. See, the shepherd knows he's got to be there. First off, the shepherd knows his purpose, the sheep's purpose is, first, is to represent. What in the world? A dumb animal like a sheep, who's he going to represent? Anybody got a guess? Who's the sheep going to represent? Somebody give me a guess. That dumb sheep that'll walk off, stray off, will be eaten by wolves, eaten by lions, has no sense of danger, just strays all over the place, has no sense of direction, no natural ability to defend itself except to run. Who's he representing? The shepherd. The shepherd. A good shepherd knows his sheep. When a shepherd comes in, they have a communal, back in Israel, they still have them, they have a communal sheep corral. All the sheep go in the corral from all the shepherds. And when they go in, you can look at the sheep. Remember, they represent the shepherd. You can look at them and see if the shepherd's done his job. How do you see it? Because if they're scrawny and sickly, he's not doing his job. If they're dirty, he's not doing his job. But if they come in and they look good and they have good fur good wool, then they know that shepherd's doing his job. So it represents the shepherd. It represents the shepherd's care. Now, at night, they're in that communal corral. In the daytime, when it's time to take them back out, all the shepherd's got to do is he walks into that corral, no matter how many herds are in there, the good shepherd can walk. The good shepherd, John 10, the good shepherd, he says, my sheep, what? Know my? The good shepherd can walk in that communal corral and call out his sheep without having to get a stick, without having to probe them. He can call out his sheep, and his sheep alone will come walking out of that corral. And it will follow him. You see, the cowboy days were there driving the cattle and driving the horses. That's not how sheep are driven. Watch this. The sheep follow the good shepherd. So he gets in front. They follow him into the fields. So they represent the shepherd. If the sheep are not following the shepherd, that means he's not spending time with them. Matter of fact, if the shepherd doesn't smell like the sheep, if the shepherd does not know his sheep, then the sheep do not represent him. So just think about something when you're going out in the world. Think about how, am I representing my shepherd in a good sense? When people see me, they know my shepherd's good to me. Can they tell by the way I talk? Can they tell by the way I handle things? Can they tell that I am of his flock? So the first thing, sheep are the shepherd's job to help their purpose is to represent. Secondly, he's supposed to help them reproduce. So now, if he's going to help them reproduce, Now you're getting into some crazy, crazy territory. Watch this. And this is grace. Without grace, remember, grace is the shepherd helping us because you feel like you don't deserve it. I've had God sometimes, I know he's helped me and I don't deserve it. How many there had God answer a prayer and you know you didn't deserve it? How many ever had God move in your behalf and you know you didn't deserve it? It's called grace. With grace, stuff's going to happen with that sheep. Without grace, there is no reproducing. There is no representing. So you got to have grace. Not law, grace. But watch this. In order for the sheep to reproduce, got to have four things. Remember, that's the shepherd's job, is to create an environment for the sheep to reproduce. Shepherds don't create sheep. Shepherds don't reproduce sheep. Sheep reproduce sheep. Sheep are the ones that reproduce sheep. Somebody say, sheep reproduce sheep, not the shepherd. Ready? Number one, they got to be free from hunger. Sheep will not reproduce if they're hungry. Because a sheep will not be still as long as they're hungry. A sheep will stay on its feet, a sheep will walk around, and a sheep will look for places to eat. A sheep must be free from hunger to reproduce. So here you got a sheep. You're trying to lead it. You're showing it where to go. Sometimes it doesn't want to eat the stuff you're trying to show it. It's trying to eat the bad stuff. That's when the rod and staff comes in. And the shepherd has to pull it back and put it over here and make sure it eats the right stuff, because he knows as long as it's hungry, it can't what? Reproduce. Number two, it can't have any fear. Sheep don't have to hear the wolf or the lion's roar to be afraid. All the sheep's got to do is see another sheep run. Think about it. Sheep don't, because they can't sense danger. They don't have to hear it. All they got to see is another sheep running, and they're going to run. So, the shepherd, again, with his rod and his staff, he protects his sheep. And the sheep, when they feel protected and they have no fear, they can reproduce. And they have to be free of pests and parasites. He anoints my head with oil. In Psalm 23, the parasites will be all over the face. The flies will be all over the face of the sheep. And because the flies will get all over the face of the sheep, they would be so distracted, they could not stay still. They cannot find their way to calm down, be free from fear. They cannot reproduce. So the shepherd takes oil, and he anoints the head with oil. When he anoints the head with oil, the parasites leave. And so because he anoints it with oil, then now they're getting in a better position to reproduce. And then finally, in order for a sheep to reproduce, it has to be free from friction with others. So the sheep again with his rod and his staff. He comes in. He sees sheep gnawing at each other. He splits them up. He puts them away from each other because he knows as long as, number one, they're hungry. Number two, they're afraid. Number three, they have pests or parasites on them. And number four, they're having a problem with others. They're not going to reproduce. So shepherd has a very busy job. Can you imagine what he's got to do? All day long. If he's got 2 sheep, it's one thing. If he's got 100 sheep, it's another thing. All day long, he's watching every sheep, not just one. I mean, not just one out of the crowd. Every sheep. And he's taking care of them. But think about the care. If one goes away, he will leave the 99 to rescue the one. Wow. So here we go. They are to reproduce. And I think I'm just going to stop. Go one more, and I'm going to stop and tell you a story. And then we're going to pray, and we can finish this next week. I'm feeling, like I said, this is wild. This was not my sermon to start with, but I really believe this. People need to hear this. Grace again. Let's talk about grace. As a shepherd, David knew firsthand. It's amazing how God chose the king of Israel, who was a shepherd first. Then he was a king. With Moses, he was a king first. Then he stuck him in for 40 years he was a king, stuck him in the desert for 40 years, learned how to be a shepherd, and then let him be a leader. With David, it was right the opposite. David was a shepherd first, then he was a warrior, then he was a king. So here we go. He knew about the love. He knew about the care. He knew about the sacrifice. See, the shepherd first, he provides. A sheep cannot provide for himself. You know what a sheep will do? Most animals will eat the ground. You know, they'll eat their ground, but they won't eat all the way down. So the ground will keep reproducing itself. Sheep have to keep moving because sheep will eat all the way down into the dirt. Have you ever seen these movies where they said the sheep herders are coming in and there's a big range war because they're trying to fight with the sheep herders and the cattlemen? You know why they were fighting? Because when the sheep come through, they killed the land. They ate everything. They ate all the way down. They could not reproduce. The land could not reproduce itself once the sheep left. They have no idea what they're doing. The shepherd has to keep them moving. The shepherd has to provide for them everything. He has to provide them so they won't be hungry, they won't be afraid, the parasites, the friction with others. He has to provide for them. Secondly, he has to protect. Without him, remember, they don't have claws. They don't have a defense system. They can't do anything but just baa and run. You know, and he's the one that directs them. Without the shepherd, they would literally die. He positions them. After he guides them, he puts them in the right area to get what they need. I love this. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Y'all might not remember this. There was a couple that came to this church about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. They came for, maybe 6 months. And then got a job and had to move or something. But they had a son. Actually, it was a mom and a stepdad. Had a son. This son was in a band. They actually had gotten a following. They had signed a small label, not a big label, a small label. And they were on tour. Again, this is small stuff, not great big stuff, small stuff. But he was well on the way to going from that small little bitty label where he mainly took care of his own stuff to where he was getting ready to jump into the next level where they were going to take care of him. They'd had a concert in Virginia. I'm talking about the shepherd now, how good the shepherd is in grace. He had a concert in Virginia. After the concert, they were playing around in their room. And as they're playing around in the room cutting up, he said, "Y'all make me so mad I could just kill myself." And he grabs his gun. He hits the discharge and out comes the magazine. He says, "Y'all make me so mad I could just kill myself." He's playing. He pulls up the gun, drops the magazine, and puts the gun to his head and pulls the trigger. Now let me ask you a question. When you pull that magazine, if a gun's loaded, what happens? It's still there. He shot himself. Hit his brain, got both eyes, hit his brain. He's laid on the floor unconscious. They call for the ambulance. The ambulance comes. They take him to the hospital. The mom and the stepdad go to the hospital. Rush out to Virginia. Talking about grace. They said he will not make it through the night. He doesn't know what's going on. He's a vegetable. He won't make it through the night. And so they're sitting by his bedside. And when they're sitting by his bedside, he starts reaching out. As he starts reaching out, doctor said, "That's just nervous reaction." And then he started motioning. Like this. And so his mama gave him a pencil and a piece of paper. And he wrote, "What has happened to me?" He said, "My body burns from my neck down, and I hurt so bad. What has happened to me?" And so they told him, "You were playing around with a gun, you shot yourself." He wrote back, "Am I going to die?" And they said, "Son, we don't know. The doctor says there's a good chance. We don't know." And he wrote back and said, "I don't want to die." And they said, "It's in God's hands." And then he asked, "Can you read me the Bible?" Now remember, he was supposed to die within hours. A week later, the stepdad has read the Bible to him twice. Not only has he read the Bible to him twice, his favorite scripture, his favorite psalm was Psalm 23. The dad said, I read, the stepdad said, I read that to him, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. I think I read it to him every day, Psalm 23. And he said, on the day that he died, he said he was holding my hand as I was reading the Bible to him. He always held my hand. And he said, I was reading Psalm 23 to him. He said, when I got down to the part where surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, this actually happened. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when he said forever, their son dropped his hand and died. Now you tell me grace isn't awesome. During that week, he had the Bible read to him. He recommitted his life to the Lord. And at the last verse of Psalm 23, he walked over to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of the stuff he did to get there, show what a sheep would do. Let me ask you a question. You may not have taken a gun and discharged the magazine, but forgot there was a bullet in the chamber and put it to your head. But I guarantee you, symbolically, you've probably done that many times. Symbolically. I know I have. Done something I thought I knew what I was doing after I did it. I said, that weren't such a good thing. God, I need you. And I'm so glad that grace answered me when I called to God. When I said, God, I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that, or I do know why I did that, but God, I need you. Every time, grace answers me. Today, right now, I'm just going to stop it right there. I'm just trying to be led by the Lord totally in this. I don't know where it's all going, but it'll be okay. When everybody just stand, DC, Jeff, y'all come up here. I had no intention of telling that story today. God, I thank you for grace. For grace. 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 I got called into a house one day. I was asked, can you please go talk to this young man? He doesn't go to church anywhere. He and his family are very upset because he found out he's got a brain tumor. And once he found out, they gave him 6 weeks to live. And they told me this after about 4 weeks had already passed. And I walked in the house and he was laying on the couch. his wife holding his hand. And he said, Pastor, I need to ask you something. Just tell me straight. He said, I know I'm dying. He says, can you tell me what's going to happen when I take my last breath? And I told him about the rich man Lazarus. And when I got through, he told me, he said, Pastor, I do not want to be like the rich man. I want to be like Lazarus. And I said, the solution's simple. You accept Jesus as your personal Savior. He said, I've run all my life. He said, but now I got to stop. And he said, now I know. And so me and him and his wife, we said the sinner's prayer. I said, I'll be back tomorrow to see you. I came back the next day and now he's in the bed. And he says, I feel so much better. But some more things nagging me. I said, what is it? He said, can I take communion? I said, sure, I'll bring it. I'll bring it with me tomorrow. We'll take communion. The next day I came and brought communion. By this time, he was weaker. And I could barely get the wafer. I had to take off a little bit piece of wafer to stick on his tongue. And his wife took communion. And I had the little pouch and I could just barely get it in his tongue. And he took communion. And somebody asked me, do you think that was really communion? And I said, he took communion just as much as anybody if they'd have stepped in a cathedral. He looked at me and he said, can I be baptized? I said, yes. He said, well, let me get my family in here. So I gave him one more day. I didn't want to keep waiting, but he's the one that was calling the timing. The next day, his whole family gathered around the bed. And I took a towel and put behind his head. I took a washcloth and I filled the washcloth with water. His wife sat beside him and they held hands. And I said, do you profess Jesus as your personal Savior? He says, yes, I do. And she said, yes, I do. I said, so in the name of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I took that cloth and I held it over his head and I squeezed it. And when the water hit his head, that water went this way and tears from his eyes went this way. Somebody even asked me about that. Said, do you think he was really baptized? I said, he just baptized as if I carried him to the River Jordan. Within the next few hours, he was gone. He lived a rough life. And in his funeral, I said, this man was met with the most horrible word, cancer. I said, but God met it back with the most powerful word, and that was grace. And I told the story about communion, and I told the story about baptism and being saved. And the whole place was just stunned. I thank God for grace. I thank God for grace. Everybody hold your head down. Hold your heads down, eyes closed. If you're here today, and I'm gonna put it right out there. If you're here today, and you found yourself being tempted to be rough on somebody, even including yourself, to be law-minded instead of grace-minded, and you found things getting rougher and rougher and rougher, and you're needing God to renew your mind about grace. When nobody else is looking around, every eye closed, would you just put that hand up? I need God to help me better renew me in grace. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people hurting. They don't need a lecture. They don't need a finger pointing at them. Because don't you know that finger's pointing at them on the inside all day long? They lecture their own self. What they need to hear is grace. That God can come in and God can work. Let's all say this together. Lord, I thank you for your grace. It truly is amazing. I thank you that we're not walking alone, that you're with us every step of the way. And we thank you that grace helps us to overcome every obstacle. And we know that you got our life in your hand. God, help us to learn to respond to life situations with grace. Help us to let that be our go-to. Grace, grace, powerful grace. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tuesday night, we're going to be talking again about caregiving. It's really been good. I mean, it's been awesome. There's some that have just come out of caregiving. And you never know when you're going to be called to go back into caregiving. You never know. Just like that, it can be your spouse. It can be your children. Just like that, it can be your neighbor. I have no idea. So it's important that if you've already been a caregiver and you're feeling kind of stressed out from it, this is here to help you get through healing. If you're going to be called, if you're in it right now, and or wind up finding yourself being called back into it, this is here for you. I promise you, you won't think it's a waste of time. It's good stuff. Not only that, but you get popcorn. All this in heaven too. How about that? Like the little boy was riding his bike to church. He had the big old saddlebag baskets. He's riding to church, and the Twinkie truck turned over at the bridge. And when it turned over, the doors opened up and Twinkies went everywhere. And so, and the rabbi said, "What happened? What'd you do with all those Twinkies, sir?" He said, "Well, I can't sell them now. They've touched the ground. They're still in their pack, but I still can't sell them because they've touched the ground." He said, "But you can have them." And so, see, we picked up all those Twinkies and stuck them in each side of his saddlebags. And on the way to church, he said, "How about this? All this in heaven too." Well, grace is our Twinkie truck. All right. Brother Wayne, sorry to say disturb us in prayer. Don't disturb us in prayer. Lead us in prayer.